Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Mbate in Washington. Today is Monday, September 27th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Rwandan President Paul Kagame praises his army's performance in Mozambique.
The president said that good work has been done so far by the Rwandan forces together with the Mozambican forces. They have managed to secure the areas in Cabo Delgado province.
Tanzania's ACT Wazalendo party says it will now meet with the police to ease tension. Who is undermining Liberia's opposition CPP? We'll also talk with political commentator and talk show host Henry Costa. And women's rights activists in Gambia protest rising maternal deaths in the country.
Despite the commitments and efforts by the government in promotion and protection of the rights and welfare of girls and women, our mothers and sisters continue to die in their numbers during childbirth. Pregnancy has become a life sentence for many when it should be a blessing and joy.
And today is World Tourism Day. We'll look at the impact of COVID-19 on Kenya's tourism industry. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley's sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. A spokesperson for the government of Rwanda says Rwandan troops went into Mozambique under a bilateral agreement between Rwanda and Mozambique. Yolande Mankolo says any decision to withdraw Rwandan troops would be made by both Mozambican President Filipe Nyusi and President Paul Kagame. President Kagame sent about 1,000 Rwandan troops to Mozambique's Cabo Delgado province last July to work alongside Mozambique's military and forces from the Southern Africa Development Community, SADC. President Kagame was in Mozambique over the weekend at the invitation of President Nyusi to mark Mozambique's Armed Forces Day. Makolo says President Kagame is pleased with the work that the Rwandan military has done in bringing stability to the once troubled Cabo Delgado province.
The visit went very well. President Kagame was invited by the president of Mozambique, President Nyusi, to visit the troops together and also to attend Armed Forces Day in Mozambique. It's an important day. It's the equivalent of the Liberation Day. So the president was also able to join them for that celebration in Pemba.
So how does he feel the Rwandan military's mission in Mozambique? How is it going?
The president said that good work has been done so far by the Rwandan forces together with the Mozambican forces. They have managed to secure the key areas in Cabo Delgado province. People have been able to return to their homes and they are restarting to work and live a normal, secure life because the troops are there to ensure security.
But Yolande, yet he says that he doesn't think that Rwandan troops can stay forever in Cabo Delgado. What do you think he means by that? Does that mean Rwandan troops are getting ready to pull out?
I'm not sure what you're referring to. What the president said is that our forces were invited to Mozambique by the president of Mozambique, and Mozambique will decide when the job is done and when our man is finished.
There was a disagreement whether Rwanda went to Mozambique by itself or under the umbrella of SADC. Has that been ironed out, or do we know exactly under what operation Rwandan troops are in Mozambique?
It's been very clear from the very beginning because this is a bilateral arrangement. Mozambique asked Rwanda directly for assistance in this area, and we agreed to join with them. And in that, the joint Rwandan forces made up of the Rwanda Defense Force and the Rwanda National Police are working directly with the Mozambique Armed Defense Forces in Cabo Delgado, and it's a bilateral arrangement.
Yolande, thanks so much for taking time to speak with us. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yolande Mankolo is the spokesperson for the government of Rwanda. She was speaking with us from the capital, Kigali. In Tanzania, the opposition ACT Wazalendo party is the latest opposition party to say it will not participate in an October meeting between opposition political parties and the police. Tanzania's Registrar of Political Parties, Judge Francis Mutungi, asked for the meeting to ease tensions between the police and opposition political parties. Main opposition Chadema party has already said it will not attend such meeting because for 6 years, the police have been responsible for the violence against the opposition. Ado Shaibu, Secretary General of the opposition ACT Wazalendo Party, says his party is waiting for a meeting also to be held in October that President Samia Suluhu Hassan is expected to attend.
Today, we have announced through the media that we are not going to participate in the meeting because of the three main reasons. One is because 21st of October, Tanzania Center for Democracy is going to conduct the National Congress on Peace, Justice and Reconciliation. And we expect President Samia is going to attend in that meeting. Therefore, our top leadership will be in that meeting, and thus it will be impossible for us to participate in the meeting with the registrar for political parties, with the police and political parties.
By now participating in the meeting, do you now want to get understanding of what seems to be a contentious relationship between the opposition parties and the police?
Until now, we have not received any response from the registrar of political parties on our proposal that the Minister for Home Affairs is also supposed to be invited in the meeting. With that stance from the registrar of political parties to proceed with the police only, we have decided that we cannot participate. Another reason is the recent statement by the Inspector General of Police, who have been quoted to have said that there's no problem with respect to conduct of rallies by political parties in Tanzania, and that there is a need for the law to be reformed in order to define the conduct of internal meetings. So we are very worried that the meeting organized by the registrar is going to be used to increase the power of the police force here in Tanzania in controlling internal meetings by the opposition.
Ado Shaibu is the Secretary General of the Opposition ACT Wazalendo Party of Tanzania. You are speaking with us from the capital, Dar es Salaam. Gambian women's rights activists took to the streets over the weekend to protest what they called the country's rising maternal and infant mortality rates. The protest was organized by Gambia's Women's Lives Matter organization, a non-governmental group. As Pandere Umbai reports from Raleigh, North Carolina, the group is calling for the establishment of a commission of inquiry to investigate maternal deaths recorded for the past 5 years.
The voices of the Gambia Women's Lives Matter protesters, a non-governmental organization fighting for the rights of Gambian women. The group is in place with the way the government is handling the country's health delivery system. They said more women are dying because of lack of drugs and proper equipment in health facilities. An official of the Gambia Women's Lives Matter organization spoke at a press conference shortly after the protest march.
The Gambian Women's Lives Matter are concerned that despite the commitments and efforts by the government in promotion and protection of the rights and welfare of girls and women, our mothers and sisters continue to die in their numbers during childbirth. Pregnancy has become a life sentence for many when it should be a blessing and joy.
The protesters are calling for a probe to establish the number of Gambian women who have died while giving birth.
We are hereby making the following demands to the Gambia government and all relevant state institutions for urgent and comprehensive action. We reserve the right to employ all other peaceful constitution and democratic measures to ensure that the lives of Gambian women are not endangered while giving birth to a Gambian. To institute a commission of inquiry to publicly investigate all maternal deaths over the last 5 years with a view to ascertain the reason and identify measures to address them.
Mamadou Ndiaye Ndai is the Director of Health Promotion at Gambia's Health Ministry.
For us as a ministry, we are open to dialogue and we are open to discussion. I expected them to work with us very closely. If there are gaps, the gaps will be identified and we can be able to work along together. We can be able to address the situation. But that is what I have seen so far. And then we are going to meet as a team and we're also going to see what strategies do we need to put in place and also perhaps even engaging them. Engaging them, we work together. We don't want to see this situation where a pressure group is working in isolation with the ministry. That doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help the country.
The protesters have accused the government of failing to provide reliable standby generators that could serve as backup in the event there is power failure in hospitals. They have also raised the issue of lack of blood at health facilities and the alleged negligence of health workers.
If those were their findings, automatically the ministry would not allow, for example, staff to be doing certain things that doesn't go alongside with their ethics and with their roles and responsibilities. And these are findings we need to get. We need to validate them. These are things that they think that they are findings. As I said, these findings, perhaps, they are not known to the ministry.
The organization has called on the Gambian government to take full responsibility for what it call the unfortunate deaths recorded during childbirth. For VOA Daybreak Africa, this is Pandering by reporting from Raleigh, North Carolina.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, September 27. In Liberia, the four-party opposition collaborating political parties, the CPP, is gearing up for its convention sometime in December this year to choose a candidate for Liberia's 2023 presidential election. There is a debate within the CPP whether this election process should be done through block voting or one man, one vote. Meanwhile, opposition member of parliament, Yeke Koluba, says radio talk show host and political commentator Henry Costa has received money from the ruling Congress for Democratic Change to destabilize the opposition.
I think it's about time for our leaders to act their leaders. They are elders. When the elders are not acting their elders, that's what you find in every institution. So we know that the ruling party have given money to some people to break down the CPP, and we will push it up to make sure that it don't work. We are here trying to pressure our leaders to make sure that they do the right thing for the Liberian people. Because let me tell you something, Mr. Butte. The CPP now is the alternative for the Liberian people. The Liberian people do not want Ambassador Weah anymore. He has failed the people. It lacks leadership ability, so they have resolved, you know, to take him from power 2023. So the only thing he can do is to infuse money, to give money to people, you know, to come and break the CPP. But we will not sit and allow it to happen. We'll keep our CPP leaders feet to the fire to make sure that the CPP holds.
Honorable Koluba, some people say the problem is within the CPP itself. What is the evidence that the government is trying to divide the opposition?
So, Mr. Butte, let's take for example, let me be very clear here. Lenin Costa, Henry Costa is the main person that the government has given money to break the CPP apart. Look, this thing Henry Costa are pushing the agenda of Ambassador Joseph Waka, the former vice president today. Well, it's seeing Costa that called the former vice president a lot of names, make him to not win the election because of the way he criticized him, call him a lot of names, call him criminal, call him old car parking, you know, he was troublous, and all the kind of things. You see the same Henry Costa today coming out and insulting all the leaders, trying to break the CPP apart, and I have getting credible information. I have been talked to on several occasions to leave the CPP. I have stood my ground. I have decided that I would not betray the Liberian people. But Henry Costa moved everywhere for money. Months ago, he was there campaigning for Ambassador Kassel. Dr. Kassel, you know, you can be in the CPP campaigning for different parties. You know, Henry Costa is just another person that is a black mirror that takes money from people, you know, to talk negative things about people and that wish he's doing. Mange and the leadership of this government have given Henry Costa money to behave in a manner and form in which he's behaving.
You and Henry Costa used to be members of the Council of Patriots. I don't know where the evidence is for him to have taken money from the government.
Look, Mr. Butte, I am telling you, Henry Costa's mission is to take money to destroy people. That's what he has done. The government has given him money to destroy the CPP, in which he's doing. Is Henry Costa credible? No, he's not credible. Henry Costa took money from a lot of people here and blackmailing people. That who he is. I was in the COP because of the Liberian people. I did not go there for Costa. If I'm not in the COP, like I left COP, there's no COP. I challenge him to pull our protest. We have to put Henry Costa in Khartoum to take him from here before the government arrests him. We put him in the Khartoum, the body. We pass on him the body to take him to freedom border. And how he left this country. We know Henry Costa, he can take money from people and just do a lot of things. So the government wonder him because he took money from the government and decided to behave the other way. Look, I cannot be in the CPP and take money from another party and say I'm a businessman. You say you're a hierarchy of the CPP, then you're taking money from another party to promote the image of the party so the party can be elected? Then are you credible?
Representative Yeke Koluba is an opposition member of the Liberian House of Representatives. He was speaking with us from the capital, Monrovia. Meanwhile, political commentator and radio talk show host Henry Costa of Liberia says he is an ardent supporter of the opposition collaborating political party, the CPP, and will do nothing to destabilize the group. Costa denies allegations by Representative Yeke Koluba that he, Costa, has received money from the ruling Congress for Democratic Change, the CDC, to undermine the opposition CPP.
First of all, I have personally invested tremendously in promoting the CPP agenda to great personal risk and sacrifice. And part of the reason why I suffered the wounds at the hands of the current administration is because of my unflinching and unequivocal support for the CPP. So any allegation would be nothing but the figment of the imagination of a troubled person, to the effect that I would want to see the very baby that I have helped to see crawl, walk, and now beginning to run fall is absolutely incorrect, false, and malicious.
Representative Koluba alleges that you were paid to destabilize the CPP. Were you given money by anyone within the CPP or outside of the CPP?
Mr. Bote, I would not even dignify that individual. He's a former member of our organization. He's a troubled person. I think he suffers from the effects of the war. Many of our people need to be seen by specialists after the war. Unfortunately, all of the ex-combatants in Liberia have not had the opportunity to be seen by specialists. And I think our brother struggles with the horror of experience during the wars. Everybody knows him for saying the most ridiculous things, not just about me, about everybody else. So I'm not going to dignify that. But more importantly, Mr. Borty, I am a strong supporter of the CPP. I support Joe Boakai for president. He's from the Unity Party, which is a member of the CPP. And I campaigned for him, and I want him to become president on the ticket of the CPP.
I hear the way you describe the representative. He was a member of the COP, the pro-democracy group that you all ran, that led protests. Is that right?
Yes. Yeke was a member of the group. We had a good working relationship, even though it was a very difficult one, because he's very difficult to work with. But to his credit, you know, when he's not on his bad days, you can get something good out of him. He worked very hard. I'll give him his due. But what really provoked him is that he supports Ellis Cummings, the guy who wants to become the senator of the CPP, and I support Joe Boakai. So you see, that's the real issue. So he resigned from the COP for the fourth time. I mean, have you heard of anybody resigning from one organization four times? And in his letter of resignation, which I can share with you, which is public, he said he was leaving because I am attacking his political leader. He said that in his letter. So you see where it's coming from. So these ridiculous allegations are stemming from his feelings of rejection of me, promoting my candidate and highlighting the weaknesses and the deeds of his candidate. And that's where it's coming from. It's nothing else. It's purely political. It's partisan.
Mr. Costa, thank you so much. It's always nice to talk with you.
Thanks for the opportunity. Always a pleasure.
That was Liberian political commentator and radio talk show host Henry Costa speaking with us from the United States. Today, September 27, is World Tourism Day. The United Nations says global tourist arrivals have decreased by 95% in the first 5 months of this year. The UN predicts a loss of over $4 trillion to the global GDP by the end of 2021. As Maureen Ojiambo reports from Milwaukee, USA, the hospitality sector in Kenya has suffered massive job losses since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Tourism continues to suffer extremely under the COVID-19 pandemic as climate change severely affects many major tourist destinations, particularly small island developing states, where tourism accounts for nearly 30% of economic activity. United Nations World Tourism Organization says the pause in international travel caused by the pandemic has negatively affected the tourism sector. Zurab Pololikashvili, Secretary General of the World Tourism Organization, said that tourism is slowly recovering across the world.
Tourism can help our societies recover from the impacts of the pandemic, and it can deliver hope to those who need it most. In many parts of the world, tourism is slowly restarting. As it does, we must make sure that nobody missed out. Growth must be benefit every part of our diverse sector, from the biggest airline to the smallest family business, and from the largest cities to the smallest rural communities.
As of May 2021, the number of tourists that arrived in Africa from overseas added up to around 1.04 million, which was significantly higher than the 533,000 international tourists who arrived in the continent in May 2020. In Kenya, the government is struggling to boost tourist trust in the country after the effects of the pandemic. Diani Hospitality Owners Association Vice Chairperson Bobby Kamani said that the border shutdown made most of the tourism industry players rely on alternative markets.
Whilst the UK had shut down earlier this year, it taught us to rely on the Eastern European market, taught us to rely more on the domestic market. So we've opened up new source markets, but we're just glad that we're getting back one of the traditional source markets.
Before the COVID-19 pandemic, the global tourism industry contributed $9.2 trillion, amounting to 10.4% of global GDP. A Kenyan conservationist, Jim Nyamo, says many tour companies and hoteliers closed down.
We've never had this before, and so we've seen so many tour companies, hoteliers closing down because they have never experienced this before, and perhaps they didn't even have a backup project or backup budget for that. And so the lesson that most of our tour operators have learned so far, and even as conservationists, is we need to have an account called a reservo account in the event of any calamity.
Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Moreno Jembo in Milwaukee, USA.
It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, James. We begin the sports with the 2021 Afro Basket Women Championships, which came to a close on Sunday in Yaounde, where Nigeria overpowered Mali 70-59 at the final of the FIBA Women's Afro Basket in Cameroon to extend their supremacy on the continent. Nigeria clinched their third consecutive African title to become only the second team to win three titles in a row after Senegal did so from 1974 to 1981. The Tigris coach is Ortiz Hugley.
We just need a bigger investment in the women. You know, these women are doing it despite, you know, people get the ministers behind it, the presidents behind them, but they need more. They need help from private, from public, from everybody.
Nigerian captain Adora Elonu bagged the Most Valuable Player award of the FIBA Women's Afro Basket 2021 as she coordinated the Nigerian senior women national team, the Tigress, to a third straight continental title.
It's a great feeling, but also, you know, you can't win MVP without your team. And I think my team was a big part of that award for me. They were very happy for me. And, you know, I was happy for myself, a little surprised as well. But I think, as you said, you know, sharing the ball, moving without the ball, none of that can really look good if your teammates don't look good. So I think, of course, they are a big contributing factor to that MVP award.
The final was preceded by a spectacular matchup between host Cameroon and Senegal. Cameroon picked up its third bronze medal and second silverware since 2015 after overpowering Senegal in the third-place playoff game 53-49. And out to boxing, where British boxer of Nigerian origin Anthony Joshua says he was 110% likely to activate a rematch clause with Oleksandr Usyk after losing his world heavyweight titles to the Ukrainian in stunning fashion in London on Saturday. Usyk gave a boxing masterclass in recording a unanimous points victory to deprive Joshua of his World Boxing Association, International Boxing Federation and World Boxing Organization belt in front of the dethroned champion's home crowd of more than 66,000 at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Anthony Joshua says he's a different animal, not a sulker, and will bounce back from losing his world heavyweight titles to Oleksandr Usyk.
I'm not going to go home tonight and be crying about it, because this is war. It's a long process. Like, this isn't just like one fight and then I'm done. I've got an opportunity to go back to the drawing board, so I can't go back and sulk. That's wasting time. I'm going back to look at ways I can improve straight away. I've already been watching the fight and figuring out, oh, I could have done that better already in my mind anyway. So, yeah, I'm not too bothered.
And that's it on Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good day. And that's it for this Monday, September 27th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for starting your week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Colotti and Reiki Stryak, as well as post editor Samson O'Malley, along with all our engineers, I'm James Barton in Washington, saying,